Going to call us back into order. Going to go back to reports of select committees. Congresswoman Pratt.
Thank you, Speaker. Good afternoon, everyone. The Rules, Ethics, and Engrossment Committee met during the recess, and we are reporting ONCA 1870, an act to amend the Osage Nation Health Benefit Act, 16 ONC sections 3102, 3104, and 3105, to add 16 ONC section 3106, 3107, and 3108 to establish an alternate effective date. Sponsor is Shannon Edwards. The final committee action is due pass as properly engrossed with 3 yes votes from Pratt, Good, Fox, and Stabler. ONCA 1936, an act to establish a competitive bidding law for the gaming enterprise doing business as Osage Casinos and to establish an alternate effective date. I am the sponsor. Co-sponsors Archie Mason, Maria Whitehorn. The final committee action is due pass as properly engrossed with 3 yes votes from Pratt, Good, Fox, and Stabler. ONCA 1942, an act to amend ONCA 1848 to provide a supplemental appropriation in the amount of $100,000 to the Treasury Department for professional fees, permanent fund investment manager fees, and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Shannon Edwards. Final committee action is due pass as properly engrossed with 3 yes votes from Pratt, Good, Fox, and Stabler. ONCA 1943, an act to authorize and appropriate $454,843 in federal funds to Family Violence Department Tribal Victims Services Program and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Alice Goodfox. The final committee action is due pass as properly engrossed with 3 yes votes from Pratt, Goodfox, and Stabler. ONCA 1944, an act to authorize and appropriate the amount of $3 million in federal funds to well plugging and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Alice Goodfox. The final committee action is due pass as properly engrossed with 3 yes votes from Pratt, Goodfox, and Stabler. ONCR 1909, a resolution to recognize the members of the Osage Nation added and deleted from the official membership roll. Shannon Edwards is the sponsor. The final committee action is due pass as properly engrossed with 3 yes votes from Pratt, Goodfox, and Stabler. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman. We will now move to bills and resolutions on third reading. First bill is ONCA 1870, an act to amend the Osage Nation Health Benefit Act, 16 ONC, sections 3-102, 3-104, and 3-105, to add 16 ONC, sections 3-106, 3-107, and 3-108, and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Edwards. Congresswoman Edwards, how would you like to proceed?
What, my time?
You have 8 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of Congress. With heavy heart, I speak today in favor of a bill that should never have been needed. Effective November 2008, the first Osage Nation Congress passed a comprehensive health benefit act. The law establishing a health benefit fund allowed all Osage members to access the gaming revenues placed into the fund for health and wellness benefits. The law provided for the establishment of a health account for each individual member with a third-party claims administrator contracted to adjudicate eligible expenses via the health accounts. The law provided for distribution and use of an encoded debit card to debit many of the eligible expenses a member could access through the benefit. All other eligible expenses required the member to submit a claim form and be reimbursed. It was an innovative and unique benefit, one of the first of its kind in Indian Country. The law required the creation of a health benefit plan document to be developed and signed by the principal chief. The plan document was to substantially conform to a detailed plan template set out in the law. It provided for the health benefit plan to be mailed to all Osage members no later than October 10th of each year, describing the terms and conditions of the benefit, together with instructions and forms necessary to access the benefit. The law listed most of the eligible expenses and provided an appeals process. When placed on the website and codified, the framework was available for every member to read and view. Upon passage, the nation solicited qualified, trained professionals in the field of insurance and medical claims administration to enroll members and monitor, approve, and audit requested expense approval. A subcontractor worked with the claims administrator to create a health benefit card hosted on a specific platform, which was encoded to allow only certain expenses to be approved. Those charges were monitored by the chosen administrator, an Oklahoma company located in Oklahoma City, who dedicated Oklahoma-based staff to work exclusively on the Osage contract. This partnership worked well for 9 years. Tens of millions of dollars of direct assistance were provided to Osage members who needed to access those benefits. Fast forward to late 2017, when the Standing Bear Administration advised some of the Congress that it was going to advertise for a different third-party claims administrator and changed the law to allow for more flexibility. The bill that was presented, ONCA 17-116, changed three sections of the law and repealed another. And it inaccurately interchanged use of the terms health benefit fund and health benefit plan. All plan specifics required in Section 106 of the law were repealed. The only requirements of the plan were that the application and forms be made available upon request, that the members be allowed to apply throughout the year, and the plan administrator administrate the plan in and for the best interest of the beneficiaries, the Osage members. It also required quarterly reports. As the original sponsor of the bill that became law, I met with the sponsor of that bill and voiced my concern that that the marching orders to provide flexibility had resulted in a bill that gutted the framework and the safeguards in the law. The Congress did restore some of the language in the law, but did not include, for example, the requirement that the health benefit card be encoded to improve only eligible expenses, or require that the administrator maintain constant balances in individual health accounts. In essence, the new law in place, which was signed into law, placed total responsibility in the hands of the chiefs and the administration to carry out the law. Following the election of a new Congress, I filed ONCA 1870, with hopes that this Congress would be willing to correct some known errors in the law. By this time, it had become apparent that lack of congressional input, particularly by the seasoned members who had worked under the law for many years, had resulted in a less than satisfactory contract with a claims administrator who was unwilling or unable to communicate in the manner that had made the process so successful. In addition to hearing about long hold times, conversations with representatives who struggled with the English language, and cards that didn't work, Congress learned that some members were provided with the wrong account balances. In the late summer of 2018, the Osage News alerted the chief that execution of the new law had resulted in a more serious problem, namely fraud. It seemed through investigation the news had learned that some charges were being accepted for items outside those approved medical expenses. At some point during this session, the assistant principal chief and the attorney general formally reported in executive session the extent of the problem to the Congress. They proposed no immediate solution, but the administration did suggest that Congress reinsert language back into the law requiring that any debit card associated with the benefit be encoded. The bill before you, in my opinion, is much better than ONCA 17-116, but still not as good as the original bill and the law that operated for almost 9 years. With millions of dollars at stake and known fraud associated with the benefit as executed today, now is not the time to save money and turn the executive branch constituent service offices into a claims administrator. Now is not the time to engage again in free-form flexibility, which has equated with a boilerplate contract, which does not serve the best interests of the Osage people. Now is not the time to not preserve the most comprehensive direct assistance we have ever had. I want to thank the Osage News for their diligence in reporting the problems with execution of 17-116 and the women of Congress in taking the lead in restoring many of the safeguards into law. While I'm opposed to some of the amendments to the bill, which are now included, I know that what Congress created for the benefit of the people is now much better than what was forced upon us a little over a year ago. I hope the Congress will keep close monitoring on how the law is executed and not be afraid to propose and impose additional regulations when so required.
Any other member wish to speak for or against this bill? Congressman Mason.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members of Congress. I concur with many of the statements that Congresswoman Edwards has brought forth to you, and I look about, there's three people in here that were around in the beginning when this was birthed, if you will, as we came about to create a benefit for our Osage people. What I'm looking at in 1870 is a bill that has many amendments made to it and within it. A lot of changes, if you will. Even to the very last few days, there were still changes being made in this bill. Changes that we as a Congress vote on and appreciate and hope that it makes it better. We hope that the executive up on the Hill will agree. And all of this, as chair of the Health and Social Services Committee, I do wish and ask that the next Health and Social Services Committee continue working on this bill. It isn't finished yet. It still needs some work done to it. There's people across the table from up on the Hill and here that all agree that it's still not a perfect kind of bill. It's not the best that we can do, but we can continue to work on it to make it better and make it the best that we can do. That word, washkal, you know, we can apply that to ourselves and how we apply it to this document and for the services rendered to our Osage people through these procedures that we develop and through another administrator that's not a part of us here in the Osage. They're another third party someplace else. But there's a process to do all of this. There's a way to make this work better. And that's why we 12 here wish to do so. And I hope that on the Hill that it's the same. I've heard that comment made up there, and we're all looking for the same thing, is to make this better for our people and how we can have better services for our people. 1870 is a good stepping stone, if you will. And it's something that still needs to be polished and worked on. But it's what we have in front of us this day. And I'm going to vote for it because I think it needs to be done. There are some things within it need to be done. Perhaps there are things that are not in it yet that could be added later as we go. And as Congresswoman Edwards says, as we monitor and look at things, and we have that oversight capability and charge as a Congress to oversee these kinds of things that we birth here at this table that we call legislation. Later on, we hope that it's signed by the chief, becomes a law. Then we need to oversee and make sure that it is indeed being followed and everything is working in the machinery that we call this Osage Nation government. So wanted to express that the Health and Social Services Committee, 2020 edition, if you will, 1920 edition, as members perhaps change or whatever, that we'll continue working on this. And if there's more amendments to be made, either by us or by the administration, we welcome all of those. Let's look at them to see how we can make this better, to make this fail-safe, if you will, for all of our people, make it a easy way of getting these kind of benefits to them. Our health and wellness for our people, whatever age, is so very, very important. And we all say that every time we go out to campaign. Health and wellness of our children, health and wellness of our elders is also very, very much part of what we do here at this table. Thank you very much.
Any other members wish to speak for or against the bill? Congresswoman Edwards, you have 1 minute and 17 seconds left.
I simply want to note that this bill now has penalties associated with misuse of the benefit, and to put people on notice that the nation is investigating At a minimum, those who misuse the card for sportswear, sports gear, makeup,
1 minute.
Presents, hotel rooms, and those who are commingling their benefit with others will, upon conviction of fraud, have this benefit suspended or permanently withdrawn.
The question is, shall the bill pass?
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Good Fox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. The bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no. The alternate effective date passes, and ONCA 1870 is referred to enrollment. Next is bill number ONCA 1911, an act to amend 19 ONC section 3-106 of the Osage Nation Workforce Pay for Performance Act to authorize base pay adjustments and merit recognition and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Edwards. Congresswoman Edwards, how would you like to proceed?
Close.
Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none, Congresswoman Edwards, you have 8 minutes.
This bill amends what we call in law the Pay for Performance Act. We've heard this session from the chief, who says that in the opinion of professionals, what we have here is not a merit system. We know that, and we've made effort to change that by voting this session on a merit bill. However, even with this law that's not a merit system, we have some things in the law right now that are nonsensical and need to be taken out, and that's what this bill does. So when you look at 3106, for example, it talks about base pay adjustments. For one thing, it says that the Human Resources Department shall maintain as public records a salary range which sets the minimum and maximum salary for each position, calculated no more often than every 3 years. It also says that base pay adjustments will be administered for a period of no less than 2 fiscal years. And it talks about merit pay and speaks to that issue. It says that merit financial recognition will continue for a period of 4 years and be funded as a percent of the annual budget of the nation and be not less than 1% of the annual budget of the nation. So you can do the math on that, and I think you'll realize that that's not what is occurring, and that those are the changes that have been made in law to react to what actually is happening now with respect to the Human Resources Department and to clean up that language. So I would encourage you to support this cleanup bill. Thank you.
The question is, shall the bill pass?
Congresswoman Good Fox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
No. The bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no. The alternate effective date passes and ONCA 1911 is referred to enrollment. Next bill is ONCA 1915. An act to authorize the Osage News Editorial Board to host and conduct a fair and unbiased debate or forum leading up to the Osage Nation elections and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Potts. Congressman Potts, how would you like to proceed?
Close.
Are there any members wishing to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none, Congressman Potts, you have 8 minutes.
Waive my time.
The question is, shall the bill pass?
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. The bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date say yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no. The alternate effective date passes and ONCA 1915 is referred to enrollment. Next is ONCA 1921, an act to appropriate $83,076 to the Capital Asset and Improvement Fund for wildland fire equipment purchases and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Pratt. Congresswoman Pratt, how would you like to proceed?
Oh, close.
Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Congresswoman Pratt?
I will waive my time.
The question is, shall the bill pass?
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. The bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no. The alternate effective date passes and is referred to enrollment. Next bill is ONCA 1934, an act to amend ONCA 1848, authorize and appropriate the amount of $262,619 in federal funds to community health representative and to reduce the tribal appropriation in the amount of $262,809 and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Pratt. Congresswoman Pratt, how would you like to proceed?
I'll close.
Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none, Congresswoman Pratt.
I waive my 8 minutes.
The question is, shall the bill pass?
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. The bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All of those in favor of the alternate effective date say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no. The alternate effective date passes and ONCA 1934 is referred to enrollment. Next bill is ONCA 1935, an act to authorize and appropriate the amount of $114,639 in federal funds to the Education Department Johnson O'Malley Program, reduce the tribal appropriation by the amount of $69,158, and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Pratt. Congresswoman Pratt, how would you like to proceed?
I might close.
Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none, Congresswoman, what do you decide to do?
I decided I'd waive.
Okay. The question is, shall the bill pass?
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Bighorse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes, the bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. The alternate effective date passes and ONCA 1935 is referred to enrollment. The next bill is ONCA 1936, an act to establish a competitive bidding law for the gaming enterprise doing business as Osage Casinos and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Pratt. Congresswoman Pratt, how would you like to proceed?
I'll close.
Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members of Congress. This bill has been worked on very hard through this session, and I think we've done the best we can do to bring this whole thing to fruition. So I'm pleased with the major components of this bill. However, I brought it to the attention that I felt that the threshold is too high on this bill, and the threshold is set at $250,000. And I tried to amend it, and the body chose otherwise. And that's fine. That's how we operate. But just based on my principle, I'm going to vote no for this bill just for that. And thank you.
Are there any other members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Congresswoman Pratt.
Thank you, Speaker. I guess there was a lot of work that went into this, and I want to thank the Commerce Committee for that work, as well as the Gaming Enterprise Board, the Gaming Commission, and the casino executives. And I realize Congresswoman Stabler did state to me that she's been supportive of the bill and is satisfied with the majority of it, but the amount was at 250. She did move to amend it to lower and in committee. And honestly, I expected a floor amendment possibly, because it did fail in committee after some discussion, but there wasn't a floor amendment made. And so the body of Congress didn't vote on that. It was just in the committee. So, but I do, allows for the casinos to perform the competitive bidding in a competitive industry. And I do support this action. They've been there before. We're going to go there again. And just to allow them to move, excuse me, I'm thinking about other things, just within the, in a competitive industry. So I do support this bill, and I hope that you will too. Thank you.
The question is, shall the bill pass?
Congresswoman Stabler.
No.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Bighorse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. The bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Alternate effective date passes, and Bill Number ONCA 1936 is referred to enrollment. The next bill is ONCA 1938, an act to amend ONCA 18-48. Say that again. An act to amend ONCA 1848 to provide a supplemental appropriation in the amount of $400,000 to historic preservation and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Pratt. Congresswoman Pratt, how would you like to proceed?
I'll waive my time.
Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none, the question is, shall the bill pass?
Congressman Tillman.
No.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
No.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. The bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. The alternate effective date passes, and ONCA 1938 is referred to enrollment. The next bill is ONCA 1942, an act to amend ONCA 1848 to provide a supplemental appropriation in the amount of $100,000 to the Treasury Department for professional fees, permanent fund, investment manager fees, and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Edwards. Congresswoman Edwards, how would you like to proceed?
Split my time. Thank you. Last Thursday, about 4-something, the assistant clerk, Dana Murrell, came up to me and said, here's a document that's for you. And I looked at it, and it was for a budget for $100,000. I said, oh, no, that's not for me. That's for someone else. She said, I'm pretty sure that you are the chair of the Committee of Jurisdiction, and this is a request to sponsor a bill. I said, oh, no. But of course, then the pitch became, well, if you don't sponsor the bill and no one sponsors the bill, then the bill's going to be back 2 weeks from now because the Treasury Department has expended funds that will not allow it to make it through the year, the fiscal year, on account of a management fee that was due out of the permanent fund management. And I said, well, are you sure they can't make it till the 1st of September? Because, you know, that was an annual appropriation. And the answer was no. So, as you can see, this was introduced this morning. It's been brought through to this point by the will of the body. I'm disappointed that this has happened, and I'll let someone else talk about the details, but in lieu of coming back in 2 weeks to do this over again, I think that now's the time to do it. Thank you.
Are there any members who wish to speak for or against the bill? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Mr. Speaker, members of Congress, Assistant Chief, I'm going to support this bill because their revenue and expenditure sheet shows that they've spent probably over 70% of their budget. I can't remember the exact percentage, but they will not be able to make it through the end of the fiscal year. The shortage, as Congresswoman said, from my understanding, in their budget was due to fees that they had to pay the investment manager out of their budget. Been given two different reasons why, and neither one of them are important right now at this moment, because they have to have some operating funds back in their budget. But what I would like to say is I've seen this body work hard this whole session. All the committees have worked hard. We've pumped out a lot of legislation. There was a draft proclamation shopped out to Congress in the month of February for a special session, and this agenda item, or this item for the session, was on that proclamation. So I'm one that thought this needed to go to committee to look at. We haven't had an exhaustive conversation around why this budget's short in a committee meeting. Nobody has got a definitive answer. I've had two. So, like I said, I'm going to support it. I had one other thing I wanted to say about it. I was talking about, so in February we knew that this department budget was going to be short, but we didn't receive this until late yesterday afternoon. It didn't make it on a committee agenda for that reason. So I'm going to vote yes, so they'll have the money in their department to finish out the end of the fiscal year. But I just wanted to state my objection to doing so at the podium. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak for or against the bill? Seeing none, Congresswoman Edwards, you have 5 minutes and 58 seconds.
Because I felt it was important for this to be identified in accordance with Osage law, you will see that the description is in the heading as well as in the body of the bill. It's under professional fees. It fits within the law's definition of professional fees, and it's set out in the bill so that there won't be any confusion about what this money was for. Now, questions do remain about the events leading up to the payment of this fee and how that came to be required. There has been a request of the Government Operations Committee to hold a hearing, and as the chair of that committee, I have sent out a request for some documents to come into Congress. Let's hope they're not emails. In any event, this is my last day as Government Operations Chair. I will assume that the new chair will take this task and go forward. But I think that as much as I dislike finding out things after the fact and having to appropriate money after the fact for items that, if properly budgeted, if properly carried out, would probably not require this kind of last minute, I think we're in a hard place and we need to appropriate these funds. And by the way, there are sufficient funds remaining in the general treasury to cover this. Thank you.
The question is, shall the bill pass?
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Good Fox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. The bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no. The alternate effective date passes and ONCA 1942 is referred to enrollment. The next bill is ONCA 1943, an act to authorize and appropriate the amount of $454,843 in federal funds to Family Violence Department, Tribal Victims Services Program, and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Good Fox. Congresswoman Good Fox, how would you like to proceed?
I'll close.
Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Congresswoman Goodfox, you have 8 minutes.
Thank you, Speaker, members of Congress. So thank you for voting this morning to fast track this. These are federal funds. I went through earlier, but I'll read them out again because this didn't go to committee. These are tribal set-aside funds for the Office of Victims of Crime. It's a three-year grant. They're using the funds for victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, human sex trafficking, stalking, and dating violence. The funds will be used for trainings for more than just the department staff, but also Congress, judges, ONPD, and prosecutors. I urge your support. Thank you.
The question is, shall the bill pass?
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. The bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All of those in favor of the alternate effective date say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no. Bill number ONCA 1943 is referred to enrollment. The next is bill number ONCA 1944, an act to authorize and appropriate the amount of $3 million in federal funds to well plugging and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Goodfox. Congresswoman Goodfox, how would you like to proceed?
I'll close.
Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none, Congresswoman Goodfox.
Thank you again, colleagues, for fast-tracking this through as it was just read in this morning. Just to let those listening know, this was a U.S. Congress-appropriated $3 million grant for the plugging of abandoned wells. This appropriation was passed to the BIA and distributed to the Osage Nation under the Self-Governance Multi-Year Funding Agreement. This was approved by the Minerals Council on Wednesday, March 20th, 2019. And in addition, I just wanted to let everyone know that none of this money will be used for overhead. All $3 million are put into professional fees so that the Minerals Council will receive every penny. Thank you.
The question is, shall the bill pass?
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes, the bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All of those in favor of the alternate effective date say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Bill number ONCA 1944 is referred to enrollment. Next is ONCR 1908. A resolution to approve a new fiscal year 2019 annual revenue projection of the Osage Nation with updated revenues. The sponsor is Congresswoman Whitehorn. Congresswoman Whitehorn, how would you like to proceed?
I close.
Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this resolution? Seeing none, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Mr. Speaker, members of Congress, Assistant Chief, we've had several meetings on with the Treasurer about this fiscal year's tribal revenue projection for FY19. We, as a part of the previous conversations about the permanent fund, some of the interest income earned off the permanent fund is not going to be at the same level as was projected by our previous treasurer. So this new treasurer's come in. He's done some heavy lifting, and he's brought us information, and it's been ever-moving this whole session. That's why this bill is just now in front of you. Also, we've had other entities come in and say they were going to earn more projections in their program revenue. So Appropriations Committee's done a lot of work, looked at this. The Treasury Department, the Treasurer, has done a lot of work to get us to this point where we can pass this resolution. But it's been very trying. But here we go, and I would urge your support of this resolution. Thank you.
The question is, shall the resolution pass?
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Bighorse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. The resolution passes and is referred to enrollment. Next is Resolution number ONCR 1909, a resolution to recognize the members of the Osage Nation added and deleted from the official membership roll. The sponsor is Congresswoman Edwards. Congresswoman Edwards, how would you like to proceed?
Split my time.
This is a new concept that has in its origin some resolutions that I saw in traveling Indian country where I noted that those governing bodies approve the addition and deletion of members to their role. The Constitution places the responsibility on the Congress to maintain a membership role. And to date, what we've done is taken an updated role from the membership office and filed it in. We recently established, I think within the last year, or within about a year ago, established the membership committee as a select committee of Congress to monitor more closely the membership role. And in conjunction with that committee, we developed a resolution that recognizes the members that have been added to the role over the last, I think, 6 months, might be a little bit longer, since this is the first one, and then those that have been deleted from the roll. So the concept is, and I hope to propose a rule amendment that keeps the membership committee with the responsibility of adding to the roll, making this resolution every 6 months, so we can get a concept or get a framework for who's coming on and who's going off. Now, I do think we're going to have to work on relinquished members. This shows that only three people relinquished in the last 6 months, and I think there has to be more than that. So hopefully, with a renewed sense that we are monitoring this, people will recognize that when their members die, that they need to be reported to the office so that we can remove their names from the roll to have the most accurate roll that we can have. But I also think this is good information for us to look at. It's structured in such a way that it provides the name, the gender, and the age, and also the date of membership addition or deletion from the roll. So I would urge your support. Thank you.
Are there any other members wishing to speak for or against this resolution? I will. I guess since we didn't get the benefit of hearing this in committee, I should have thought beforehand to ask the sponsor, and I think I just assumed that this list is going to be made public. If in your closing remarks, could you state whether or not this list is going to be made public or not? I would say, I guess for the record, if it is going to be made public, I think it's, I would be voting no for the resolution if the list is going to be made public. Are there any members wishing to speak for or against the resolution? Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes, to my knowledge, it is already public, and it will be made public. There was no amendment to make it not public. We already distribute the entire membership list or all the eligible voters to anyone who runs for office along with name and address. So this doesn't provide any of that information, but it does provide the names, the ages, and the date of membership of new members. Thank you.
The question is, shall the resolution pass?
Congresswoman Lemon.
No.
Congressman Mason.
No.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
No.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Bighorse.
No.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
No.
Speaker Walker.
No. The resolution fails. The next resolution is ONCR 1911. A resolution to approve the fiscal year 2020 annual revenue projection of the Osage Nation. The sponsor is Congresswoman Whitehorn. Congresswoman Whitehorn, how would you like to proceed?
I waive my time.
Are there any members wishing to speak for or against this resolution? Seeing none, the question is, shall the resolution pass?
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Bighorse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes, the resolution passes and is referred to enrollment. That brings us to agenda item 12, confirmation of the legislative branch appointee for the Osage News Editorial Board, Tara Manthe. Congresswoman Goodfox.
Move to confirm Osage News Editorial Board appointee for the legislative branch, Tara Manthe, to a term of 3 years.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, roll call vote.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Bighorse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. Tara Manthe is confirmed to the legislative as the legislative branch appointee for the Osage News Editorial Board for a term of 3 years. That brings us to motions and notices. Part of this process is my stellar report. Are there any motions or notices prior to that? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
I move the Speaker read the veto message on ONCA 1927, dated April 16th, 2019.
Okay.
Second.
It was a motion, it was seconded, so I guess we'll vote on the reading, me reading it. All those in favor say yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no? Okay, motion passes. Executive veto message on ONCA 1927, dated April 16th, 2019. To the Honorable R.J. Walker, Speaker of the Osage Nation Congress and members of the 6th Osage Nation Congress, I hereby veto ONCA 1927 and return it with the following objections. Our Constitution requires the establishment by Osage law of the Department of the Treasury in the executive branch. The Treasurer is appointed by the Principal Chief by and with the advice and consent of the Osage Nation Congress. The Congress also prescribes the powers and duties of the Treasurer, but does not direct the day-to-day activities of the Department of the Treasury. The Department of the Treasury is completely within the executive branch. ONCA 1927 adds a new word to the existing law 15 ONC, section 2-302, that word being direction, as a power of the Congress over the Treasurer. Directing officer of the executive branch is a violation of separation of powers, Article 5, Section 2. Section 4 of ONCA 1927 says the Treasurer has attendant powers subordinate to the executive branch and subject to review and direction by the Osage Nation Congress. The Congress cannot direct an officer of the executive branch. What is the Treasurer to do when an order of the executive branch contradicts a directive of the legislative branch? This bill, with its direction language, would have the Osage Congress direct accounting standards, cash management, investments, cash receipts, cash disbursement and expenditure approval levels, payroll, property control, accounting systems and access, travel authorizations and reimbursements, internal financial reports, procurement, budget, and budget definitions. The separation of powers is an affirmative mandate of our Osage Constitution. It is important that our three-branch constitution is not interpreted in a way that allows disruption of one branch by another. For these reasons, ONCA 1927 is vetoed. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Move to override the veto.
Second.
Motion to override the veto. Discussion.
Point of inquiry. I believe the rules say that each person has 5 minutes to speak. Is that correct?
I believe so. I don't recall any limiting language.
5 minutes to speak.
It's similar to debate on a bill or resolution. You have 5 minutes and can't speak more than once. Are there any members wishing to speak for or against the veto override? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I really don't want to start first, but I will start first because I made the motion. In the veto, well, let's first talk about the law that was passed. And you guys do have a packet, and I supplied the law that was vetoed, or the bill that was vetoed underneath it. And the purpose of this is to enact the amendment to the Treasury law, the constitutionally required provision of fiscal management policy of the Osage Nation, which will ensure the provisions of financial accountability, period. That was the purpose of this bill. We got a return veto message from the chief that really doesn't address what the function of this bill does, and that's for this body to approve the fiscal policy of the nation, which provided in the Constitution in Article 6, Section 13, it's very clear that we do have that authority to approve the fiscal policy of the nation. He wants to refer to, in his executive mess, in his veto message, he refers to that we have the ability to confirm. He says the treasurer is appointed by the principal chief by and with the consent of Osage Congress. That is a true statement. But that portion of the Constitution within that sentence has other provisions that is by and with the advice and consent of Congress. One of them is that that the chief financial officer, he administers a fiscal policy and ensures the financial accountability of the nation by and with the advice and consent of Congress. There's no other way for Congress to give us consent other than a vote. The Constitution also, in Article 6, Section 16, obligates the Congress to pass, the Osage Nation Congress shall pass all laws necessary to carry into effect the provisions of the Osage Nation Constitution. If the fiscal policy is mentioned in the Constitution and it's supposed to be, and it's there with the advice and consent of Congress, how can we do so without voting on that fiscal policy? It is a provision of the Constitution. It's our duty and obligation as a legislative branch to enact laws necessary to bring those provisions of the Constitution into effect. Also, in the second paragraph, or the fourth paragraph, I guess you can call it, where it starts with ONCA 1927, adds a new word to the existing law. It does. It adds the word direction. And it says, he goes on to say that the word being direction as a power of the Congress over the treasurer. I'd like to direct you to your piece of paper where the Constitution absolutely says the treasurer shall accept receipt for, keep, and safeguard all tribal funds as directed by the Congress and shall maintain and provide an accurate record of such tribal funds. So my question is, I guess it's not a question. I do. I question why he acts like that's the veto message states that it's a new concept. It's a concept that's a legislative power given in the Constitution. It's right there. It's something that I didn't make up, conjure up. I pulled the words directly out of what the Constitution says. He goes on to say that Congress cannot direct an officer of the executive branch. What is the treasurer to do when an order of the executive branch contradicts a directive of the legislative branch?
1 minute.
I continued on, and I want to read in here, and it says Congress has a duty to direct. It doesn't say that the chief or the executive offices direct the treasurer. The Constitution says Congress does. I'd like to address separation of powers. You have that article in the, it's Article 5, Section 2. So many times this phrase is disregarded. It's the very last phrase of that constitutional mandate about separation of powers. It says, except as expressly provided in the Osage Nation Constitution. I submit to you that the fiscal policy is a provision that we need to act into law. I submit to you that the Constitution gives Congress, not the executive branch, the ability to direct the treasurer. And I submit to you that this is a place in our Constitution that expressly provides the Osage Nation Congress that ability. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak for or against the veto override? Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with many of the words that have been stated by the previous speaker. The Constitution is clear. I'm not going to point to a packet that's been prepared. I'm going to point to the Constitution. The Treasurer shall accept, receipt for, keep, and safeguard all tribal funds as directed by the Congress. That is absolutely constitutional language from our Constitution. The objection stated in the veto message is that including the word as directed is somehow unconstitutional. I don't accept that as a proper constitutional argument. And additionally, the previous speaker mentions, how do we do that? How do we direct? And I believe that that is taken straight from our Constitution as well, with the words advice and consent. And a couple of you have already heard me speak about where that language comes from. It comes from a very long time ago, when the original thought of advice and consent, or consent of the governed, was added to government structure in general. It means consent. The people who will be ruled by these governing documents must provide consent to being governed. How else do we do that except by a vote of this body? I see no other way, and in fact, neither does this body. The words advice and consent appear two times in our Constitution. One is in reference to approval of the treasurer. The second is in reference to how we approve executive branch nominees to our boards and commissions, and that is with advice and consent. And this body has interpreted that to mean that we vote to approve those members. So I don't understand how we could possibly have advice and consent at two different places in our Constitution and somehow interpret it to mean two different things. We have to direct the treasurer as provided by the Constitution, and we must advise and consent, which I believe means we vote on the fiscal policy of the nation. I don't see it any other way. So I'll be voting in favor of overriding a veto. I yield my time to the speaker.
Are there any other members wishing to speak for or against the veto override? Congresswoman Edwards.
I just want to state that I think it's the best policy of this Congress to quote the Constitution when we can. We're sworn to follow the Constitution, and we put the words that come from the Constitution into our laws. We have fulfilled our obligation. So I will be supporting the override.
Anyone else? Congresswoman Good Fox.
We had several bills that I thought that we gave a lot of time to in committee, and there was a lot of compromise in some of these bills. I would say probably the Budget Control Act was the biggest one. We met on it several times, and what was introduced by the sponsor in the beginning looked vastly different than what was passed. I don't even know. I mean, I guess you could still call it a Budget Control Act, but it was a lot different than what he submitted. For sure. I've had the privilege to sit on Congress with individuals that helped to draft the Constitution. And we've had a lot of discussion over the years. What did you all mean by this? And two of those individuals have said it wasn't a perfect document. And we say that a lot. It's not a perfect document, and it needs... There's this part's vague, or this part we just don't, it's not very clear. And so when I was coming to my decision, we actually compromised with executive on pulling out the treasurer from sitting on the board in the Budget Control Act. And I really feel like if we feel that we have the right to direct, why did we compromise on that? Why was that a compromise you were willing to give up if you, in your most honest opinion, feel like we have the ability to direct that treasurer? To me, that would be a compromise I wouldn't be willing to give up. But we did. We sent it out and took the treasurer out of the equalization board, and I can't even remember if that's what it's called. But I'm of the opinion that this might be a piece of legislation that we could bring back at another time and try to work it through the process that we have worked through on some of the other bills, like the Budget Control Act. I don't think that anyone thought that that was going to get out the door without a veto, and it did come back with a veto, but it also came back with compromises of change this, this, and this. There were four things, and I'll pass it out. And there were a couple more pieces of legislation that I feel very strongly that a lot of people felt like were going to get vetoed that didn't. So I think that we are working together, and I think that this is an area that if it doesn't get the override, it's worthy of coming back and trying to work together with the executive branch on. I'll be voting no today.
Anyone else? Seeing none, the question is, shall ONCA 1927 veto be overridden?
Congresswoman Pratt.
No.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Bighorse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
No.
Congresswoman Lemon.
No.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Speaker Walker?
Yes. Required 9 votes. It failed 8-3. Still in motions and notices? Congressman Potts?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As directed by the Education Committee, I'd like to make a motion to recognize the following students for their academic achievements and direct the Speaker of Congress to prepare citations to congratulate and commemorate their academic success. Malik Livingston for Bachelor of Science, Stephen Foreman for Bachelor of Science, Kyle Sherrill for Bachelor of Science, Sonia Baer, a Master of Science, Rachel Blackwell for Bachelor of Science, Bryce Gaskey, Bachelor of Arts, Joseph Mickelson, Bachelor of Science, Lacey Eller, Bachelor of Science, Christian Bills, Bachelor of Science, Cassidy Rexwinkle, Bachelor of Science, Sean Stewart, Bachelor of Science, Robert Noble, Bachelor of Science, Jordan Edmondson, Bachelor of Arts, Deborah Parks, Associate of Applied Science, Jalen McMillan, Bachelor of Science, Henry Sparks, Bachelor of Science, Michael Sparks, Doctor of Medicine, Justin Tisdell, Bachelor of Arts, Elizabeth Stabler, Master of Business Administration, Janelle Aleo, Associate of Science, Taylor Jones, Master of Education, Tessa Waltz, Bachelor of Science, Deanna Ballinger, Master of Education, Cami Nimitz, Doctor of Pharmacy, Kara Steele, Bachelor of Science, Charles Stabler, Bachelor of Arts, Claire Wang, Bachelor of Arts, Cameron Horn, Bachelor of Business Administration, Laura Gray, Bachelor of Science, Samuel Martz, Bachelor of Science, Clinton Horn, Master of Business Administration, Annie DeLong, Bachelor of Arts, Lindsay Robinson, Bachelor of Business Administration, Colton Strabala, Bachelor of Science, Haley Briggs, Bachelor of Arts, Sandy Hainzinger, Bachelor of Science, Sophie Wang, Bachelor of Arts, Deliana Ford, Associate of Arts, Jordan Tinker, Bachelor of Business Administration, Destiny Lookout, Bachelor of Physical Education, Shelby Schweikert, Bachelor of Science, Natasha Lovato, Bachelor of Arts, Briar Parks, Bachelor of Fine Arts, Alexandria Wheeler, Bachelor of Science, Michaela Meyer, Juris Doctor, Morgan Kidder, Bachelor of Science, Catherine Ribera, Master of Arts, Dana Lorke, Bachelor of Science, Nathan Vison, Bachelor of Arts, and I think I just have one more page, right? Taylor Kennedy, Bachelor of Science, Braden Wallace, Doctor of Pharmacy, Kimberly McKinney, Bachelor of Science, Bennett Kinzel, Bachelor of Science, Jennifer Bell, Bachelor of Public Relations, Olivia Dupic, Bachelor of Arts, Michael Madley, Bachelor of Accountancy, Ryan Todd, Bachelor of Science, Talon Stapahoodle, Bachelor of Arts, Jennifer McManus, Associate of Applied Science, Juniper Smith, Bachelor of Science, Francis McMahon, Bachelor of Science, Amy Dobbins, Bachelor of Science, Justin McGuire, Associate of Applied Science, Kinsey Gillum, Associate of Applied Science, Justin Zahn, Master of Liberal Arts, Kristen Holbrook, Master of Architecture, Joni Hall, Master of Science, Lisa Taylor, Master of Science, John Floyd, Associate in Science, Lauren Long, Master of Science, Amanda McKinley, Master of Science, Mary Wildcat, Master of Science, Coley Streeter, Master of Science, and Raymond Redcorn, Doctor of Philosophy. I just made
you do that on purpose, Congressman. Save the best for last. Is that what?
It's Raymond M. Redcorn.
Okay. Would you repeat the motion? No. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. And motion passes.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
How many students were there?
She might not have a...
How many graduates?
I didn't count.
No. They may not have.
Good. And I will add that list may not be inclusive of all graduates. That is the ones that we know of.
Applied for them.
Correct.
Still in motions and notices. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Probably have that.
I'd like to notice, Congress, that I've just received an email, and what it pertains to is our Blue Stem Ranch. Now, I guess it's been signed into legislation. We're going to call it Osage Nation Ranch, LLC. And that ranch and that business operation has a piece of my heart. This Congress has been agreeable to appropriate a little under $5 million to getting that business up and off the ground. What I'd like to say right now, notice Congress, is that the last two initial board members, which were appointed to the Blue Stem Ranch LLC board, have fallen off. They have not been reappointed. And that they were the longest serving board members. They've been there for 3 years. And since we have replaced other board members with new and fresh board members. But I'd like to say I kind of have a heavy heart. The original ranch board was truly a joint effort between the executive branch and the legislative branch. We sat at one of these tables across from each other with the chief and possibly the assistant chief and came to agreement on those initial five people that would get our ranch business off the ground. And they have. I'm waiting for the attachment to come, but I'd like to read this to you right quick. It's from Teresa Mead. She was the treasurer of the ranch board. And she says, Honorable Congressman Whitehorn, it's been a pleasure to serve our Osage people. It has allowed me to meet and work with some great Osage people. The experience and knowledge I have earned is priceless. I am ready to go, but I leave with a heavy heart. Serving on this board has taken a lot of time and energy, and I am ready to give back time and energy, and I am ready to give that back to my work and family. I had only hoped that Jim Perrier would have been reappointed. His knowledge of the ranch property, marketing, and buying cattle, and a common sense approach. To business, served the Blue Stem Ranch well. He would have gladly served another term. I hope you are pleased with the direction the board has taken the ranch. We have a long way to go, but I am confident that we will end up with the ranch that will make us, all of us, proud. Attached are the board financial position ending March 31st, 2019. Would you please put this on record? Sincerely, Teresa Mead, Blue Stem Ranch LLC Treasurer. So I just wanted to notice, Congress, that I have a heavy heart, too, and I believe that what we have appropriated, that ranch board, all the members that have served on it, our assets far outweigh what the appropriation is right now. And she forgot to attach the document, but I will go ahead and get this to the Clerk of Congress and have it stamped in and sent to you in your email. So I just wanted to notice you that, and we're we're headed forward with the ranch. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Congresswoman Edwards.
Move to recess for caucusing regarding committee.
Do you, would you mind if I give this stellar report that I have?
I'm sorry, the stellar report.
I'll make it brief.
I withdraw my motion.
Thank you. If not, it'll get lost in the shuffle paperwork. Okay. I might forget.
Sorry.
We had 56 scheduled meetings over the course of this session, considered 52 bills, 13 resolutions. There was $4,357,164 of non-tribal revenue appropriated and $503,328 of tribal revenue appropriated. I do recall the first day of session standing at that podium and stating that my hope was that we could come up with some better budget law. And we spent hours and hours collaborating across the table with the executive branch, and the veto message that we received was unprecedented, and it was refreshing, and I was glad to be a part of it. So I'll just keep it at that. But anyway, I just want to thank the staff, especially for all of their hard work. You guys see the emails coming out at 7, 8, 9, sometimes even 10 o'clock. She was texting me last night at 10 o'clock. Anyway, you guys do a marvelous job, all of you. And anyway, let's just give them a hand. And the committee chairs, all of you guys did a really good job, chaired a few committees myself, and scheduling the meetings, trying to get everything in order and all the legislation out in front of us and on agendas and emails and disgruntled committee members and whatnot. You guys did a really good job too, so I appreciated you guys' hard work. And with that, Chair would entertain a motion for recess so we can caucus.
So
moved. Second.
Motion to recess, seconded. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. We're in recess for the purpose of caucusing.